And welcome to the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors meeting. It's 7 a.m. 7 p.m. And we have Director Callahan who's attending but on.
He's on the line.
Excellent. All right, let's go ahead.
Hi, thank you.
Let's go ahead and get started. Pledge of Allegiance, Director Graves, would you please lead us?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Have a roll call.
Roll call been taken, let the record show that all members are present with President Callahan joining remotely.
All right, and we are now going to be taking some public comment. Anyone that is here to talk about anything that is not on the agenda can have up to 3 minutes to talk. We cannot respond. We'd love to, but we are listening to what you are saying. So if there's anyone who would like to come up now, introduce yourself and make public comment. Is there anyone on? Okay, and with that, we will close public comment and go on to the consent calendar.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion.
Roll call. Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Bateau?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Aye.
Excellent. And now we will go to the our area agencies reports. And so we have no one here tonight from Supervisor Burgess's office, but we do have Lieutenant Charlene Jaquez from the Sheriff's Department.
Good evening, Board. Thank you for having me once again. So for the month of October, we were a little busy. The numbers that are reflected in the reports are actually pretty similar to the previous month. We had just over 300 calls for service, 327, 51 reports, which is up just a hair from last month. There's a couple cases I'd like to talk about, actually multiple cases. Criminal misbehavior helped authorities once again, times two. So I'm going to focus on a couple of the cases that are listed. The first one is a commercial burglary that occurred at our Safeway fuel pump station on October 16th. The glass was broken and lottery tickets were stolen. We had upwards of $4,600 worth of loss at that particular burglary. However, with the use of the new LPR cameras that we installed, we were able to develop a license plate. And I'm happy to report that as of today, just today, the suspect was taken into custody and he is linked with several other similar cases in and around the Bay Area. So good news on that front. The second one, over the course of a couple weeks in October, we experienced a rash of property crimes, specifically burglaries and theft. Well, fast forward to just last week, a little after midnight, Tuesday morning, there was a road rage type shooting on Camino Diablo, just off Byron Highway. The use of license plate cameras and diligent investigation helped produce a plate for the suspect vehicle in that case. And it was linked to a stolen vehicle case out of Tracy, which then linked us back to the suspect. Whereas we determined he was responsible for the string of burglaries in Discovery Bay. I'm happy to report on that case that late last night he was taken into custody after a brief pursuit. Two guns, narcotics, and property from Discovery Bay were located in his vehicle. So again, he is linked to numerous cases all over the Bay Area. He's not from this part of Contra Costa County. He basically was doing rounds. So he would go around and commit crimes, wait a couple days, go commit crimes over in the Bay Area or more inland, and then come back a week later and do it again. But was he's in custody, so hopefully he will stay in custody for quite some time.
Was he doing good the job. Vehicle thefts, like the break-ins that were happening?
Yes.
That's when my daughters got broken in on that. So it's good to hear that he's in custody.
Yes, and we're linking him to hopefully more cases. The investigation is still ongoing, and I'm hopeful that we'll be able to tie him to a plethora of crimes and cases. He is a convicted felon, so hopefully we can get some assistance from the district attorney's office and keep him in custody for some time. Next, I would like to thank the board once again for your continued support with our drug take-back days. On the 26th, we held the last one of this year. The results are back. We collected 113 pounds of, it's a lot. Yeah, it's collectively, out of all of our station houses and contract cities, we collected 246 pounds. So 113 was just the four station houses here included. Next, I sadly have to inform you that Resident Deputy Coy has finally transferred to investigations. However,
good for him, bad for us.
I know.
You know,
I'm happy inside.
Yes. However, I learned just tonight before I got here that he already was noticed one of the cases that was sitting on the other detective's desk. It was a Discovery Bay case, and he asked if he could take it and run with it. And the detective said, "Go ahead."
Oh, that's good.
So he is still near and dear to our hearts, and will still hopefully, with his drive and his knowledge of Discovery Bay, we'll be able to continue working some of our cases from that side of things.
From a distance.
Yes.
That's great.
So hopefully, we'll still see.
Yeah, that insight should be a very good advantage to him when doing some of those investigations.
Absolutely. Yeah, he's very, with the intimate knowledge he has, I think it'll really help, out here. But I did interview 7 candidates. I had 7 people put in for his spot, which is a very high number, which speaks volume to the place of work and environment that we create for our folks. So I'm very happy with that. All 7 of them were excellent candidates. I would have been happy with any of them. But I did submit my memo, and I'm just waiting for the blessing to implement and hopefully fill that position soon. And then lastly, as we enter the holiday season, just a reminder, this is a really, it's an opportune time of year for criminals to take advantage of people that leave valuables in their car and things like shopping. They leave their vehicles unlocked, making them prime targets for theft. So as we enter the holiday season, I just ask the community to be mindful of that and just make sure that, one, you're walking your cars. There's people that are just door checkers that just go around and check everybody's door handle. Which oftentimes leads to breaking into the home because then they take the clicker, the garage door clicker. So, again, just a reminder to make sure everything remains locked up and out of sight. And that's all I have unless the board. Yes.
To get back to the pill thing for a moment.
Yes.
Do the pharmacies take back pill? Do you have any idea? Do the pharmacies take back medication that's not used? Can you turn it into a pharmacy, I guess, is the question. My question.
That's a great question. Some locations do offer that as an option for folks to drop unused, unwanted prescription medications, while fire departments will. Not all locations do.
Do you know anything locally?
Safeway Pharmacy does.
Yeah. I don't think CVS does.
Who?
Yeah.
Safeway Pharmacy.
Safeway does?
Sometimes right now they have a thing out there that says they'll take it back. So they think they only do it during certain times. Okay.
Well, we just happen to have some things, prescription drugs left over right past your deal, and Leanne asked me about it today.
Rest assured, we'll have another one. Probably, it's usually in April that we have the first of the year, so I know that's a long time to hang on to them, but.
Don't flush them.
Yes, don't.
No, as she said, I know we can't flush them anymore, so what do I do?
No.
So it's good timing. Anyway, thank you very much.
Yes,
For those of you who may not have heard about this, we had a wonderful situation, a sad situation that turned out wonderful due to our lieutenant and a number of officers, and you can fill in the blanks, but some young kids at Lakes or Lakeshore had their little wagons out Halloween, and some kids came up and stole their candy. The kids were very upset. The mom posted on Next Door, and the next day, our wonderful lieutenant showed up with a number of officers, and they had all their cars and the lights going and brought the kids candy. So it turned out to be a great situation, and so many comments from so many people in the town. Thank you for doing that.
Absolutely.
Very
it's
much.
Pleasure.
Any questions from the board?
Dean has one.
Vice President Graham, do you mind if I ask a question?
Of course.
Okay. If you have a flyer for that reminder for keeping your things locked through the holidays, we would love to post that. So if you have
Absolutely.
Something like that, hand it to us. We'll put it on social media.
I'll tell you what, we will make one.
Okay. Thank you.
That's a great idea.
There you go. All right.
I'm happy to do so.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. And now we are going to go on to our MAC. So you all saw the email from the county planner just giving us a little update, just stating that as far as the property across the street goes, the development, that it's very first step, very preliminary. There has been no a formal application for the development project. It was confirmed, and you probably, I'm sure, all know this, but just to make sure everybody does it, the lot has sold and the deal did close. Andy, we had talked last meeting about you updating us on the Permits Streamlining Act. Can you take a couple minutes?
Sure, thank you, Director Graham. So in the past few years, California legislature has passed a number of laws that have been encouraging counties for their housing element. So that, as you all know, that we came through, I think it was Contra Costa 2040, and they identify a number of housing, and then they allocate that housing amongst the county throughout the jurisdiction. Jurisdictions that are not in compliance with their number that they've been designated fall under these laws that allow for permit streamlining. And what that is dependent upon the project has to meet various elements, such as, you know, being in an industrial zone and be a residential mixed use, and then there's an avenue for them to no CEQA, no public hearings. And as long as it meets certain criteria, like not in a floodplain, not in a marshland, or not on Native American sites, so there's a bunch of elements. That's not the one that they're intimating that this project's under. So this project's under what's called SB 330, and what SB 330 does is it's another vehicle for encouragement of housing, and this is residential-based housing, so it's got to be infill, and there is a hearing process under this, but they can have no more than 5 hearings. So a lot of these things, they're out of the control of even the county, and the county's getting these pressed down from the legislature, and they're just having to comply because our state legislature's policy on housing is we have a low inventory of housing, so we need to increase the inventory of housing. And these are how they're doing. They're taking the local control from the counties, saying that the counties, you have not been doing your job, or cities, you've not been doing your job, so we're going to press this on top of you. We'll follow this along, as you know, from the standpoint of what the town can participate in. So we can probably participate by providing comment, following along, giving the concerns of the constituents here at Discovery Bay. Without the Land Use Authority, we're really without a strong lever to influence the project outside of the things that we do control, which is water and wastewater.
That's great. Any questions for?
No questions, but just a comment, and I'm sure you're already aware of this, or maybe not. There's a similar project proposed, not low income, but at the lot across the street from the Steakhouse Shopping Center. In that particular case, Public Works has a $32 million requirement of upgrades to Highway 4, to Clipper, a pedestrian path to Safeway. So I realize that the state can circumvent some of those requirements based on the nature of the project, but potentially, to me, that's a leverage position that, well, if you're requiring that development to have a $32 million in upgrades to Highway 4, then the requirement should fall suit on this particular development as well.
Yeah, so absolutely correct. So if under the programs that I was just talking about, if they meet all of the elements, then the county has a ministerial obligation to approve the plan. But that does not mean that they cannot have conditions on the plan.
Of approval.
So those conditions of approval would accommodate, increased traffic, intensity, the other, the impacts on all the public resources that are going to be, that everybody's going to feel. So one of the two that are in our gamut or within our jurisdiction are the water and wastewater. So the water and wastewater are going to be an element that is going to have to be considered as this project comes in further in the project or further in the application process. But we're trying to be proactive at the front end and through your MAC authority, being able to comment on these community-based impacts and then also having our engineers start to understand what the technical impacts are going to be to our facilities.
I appreciate that, Brian, because I had forgotten about that. And my comment would be the study that would need to be done at this intersection right here to whether or not Discovery Boulevard would continue to be four lane further down through past the project in order to accommodate on-street parking, which is going to happen. I don't care how many parking places they put in. People are going to park on the street because they have too many cars. I would think that would also might fall back on the developers. What you talked about was specific to that corner, but what about the traffic pattern here at this corner? And what input, how do we plan for that as a district to represent our constituents and make sure that that is addressed by the Public Works Department before it's too late, before things get approved? Secondarily, taking a look at what our parking policy, what are our parking rules that we have here, the
ordinances
for parking here, and whether those need to be modified based on the fact that now you're bringing in an apartment building type of a complex where there might be, and it's going to be affordable housing, so there may be vehicles that don't run, so they're not allowed to park in the parking place because the developer says you can't have a vehicle here that doesn't park, and then it ends up on the street. Do we need to update our ordinances to address that? And where do we, at what point do we make sure that those kind of concerns get addressed?
So so under your MAC authority, we have made comment on this project in the past, and so there are a few letters that you all, through your MAC authority under General Manager Davies, have communicated. You can communicate those concerns to the county, and the trick there is following up and continuing to maintain communication with your contact at the county so to make sure your concerns make it into the conditions, make it into the planning process. We don't regulate the parking out here on the streets. Code enforcement.
We have to rely on the county to represent
us
fairly.
That's right.
That has been a bit of a challenge out here. We don't necessarily get fair county representation out here.
Yeah, and that's where I think the line of communication with our supervisor, so through Burgess and through Mr. Griswold.
I think that's what I was referring to, but okay.
But that's exactly, these are the things that we should probably consider dredging that letter back up, understanding what concerned the board at that letter.
Modifying it if necessary, adding to other concerns that weren't available before.
Because that letter was applicable to a different project. So,
and a different developer.
And possibly attaching the Public Works list of requirements for that lot up front with the letter saying, well, are you going to hold, are the same to be applicable and are you going to hold true? While I don't think anyone's a fan of the proposed project, but if it goes forward, at least we get some benefit with the Highway 4 improvements, which are desperately needed.
That's a good point. Yeah, so to sit on your heels as a board and to rely on that letter that was there is not the right position, because that letter is not going to have any impact on this project.
It's just going to be in the file.
Well, yeah. It's not even going to be in this file.
Because
it's a completely different project. So we would need to dredge that letter back up and get that letter back before you all, so modify that letter, get that letter out of your MAC, out of your MAC authority. Now remember, MAC, we're unfunded, so we don't have a lot of resources to pull from, but that letter, you do have an established letter we could pull that back up, rework it, new names and dates.
Right, so what I would suggest to staff that maybe we should get Mike Davies back involved in this, since he wrote the original verbiage, and he also is very familiar with those type of things because of his background, and see if we can't get him, contract with him to make a new letter that addresses this specific project, as well as these concerns that Brian brought up and that we're talking about here tonight.
Yeah, it would be absolutely relevant and within your authority as a MAC to identify the conditions on that project and request a response from the county so that you can understand.
I don't mean to be speaking for the whole board, but does that make sense to everyone?
Oh, no, it absolutely makes sense. No, and I appreciate that. And kind of taking off from there, what would you all think if we, as in the board, invite the county supervisor or representative, the county planner, and the developer to a town hall meeting, and then I'll give our residents a chance to be heard. They can get information directly from these people, just to get a better understanding of what it is, what it's not, and what it can be, if that made any sense.
I think that needs to be part of our letter. I don't think that we need to, because like a town hall meeting, I think that's something that they would need to put on, and we need to strongly recommend that they do that. So our constituents are
Ready. Yeah, I think we do
I
it all.
I don't know. I think.
Are we going to pay for that? Town hall meeting, you know what I mean?
How are we going to pay for it?
I don't know. I guess I'm just thinking like we don't have any land authority, and so.
No, this goes with the MAC thing, though. I don't know if that's a bad idea or not. I think I tend to think that that's something we probably should consider. And I think the importance of the statement you made was for one reason and one reason only, and that's if the developer shows up.
Yeah.
If the developer doesn't show up and hear what kind of attitude the town, our constituents have, it will just fall on deaf ears. But if the developer knows what he's up against with regards to integrating within our community, which should be his goal, their goal. They need to be there. I think it's
important. Well, yeah,
I think it would be much more effective if the developer was there.
And I think just the communication with our residents and letting them know seriously what we as a board can do and can't do, especially with all these the new ordinances and regulations that have taken place the last couple of years. But it'll give them a chance to ask questions of the actual people themselves instead of hearing it second or third hand through us.
I don't disagree. I think we should at least start with the letter.
Oh, yeah. I think we should do it all.
Like, 100%.
Do it all.
This is probably because nothing's going to happen this year at this town hall meeting. I'm thinking back to the first of the year.
It
won't be called. We can do a thing over at the school like we've done before for town hall meetings. We can ask the school if they will let us use the auditorium.
Yeah.
In the anticipation of hundreds of people showing up, which we would really like to see.
Yeah, that'd be wonderful. You know? So if there's no major objection, Dina, can you partner with me on this, and we'll come up with a date and location and such. And you're right; it's the years flying by, so it probably.
But I do. I agree with
directors. Holidays and everything.
Yeah. Oh no, I think. But I think we do the letter soon.
This letter post haste. Yeah, the letter right away. Your communications anyway, right, Carolyn?
Yes.
So I think you could. That only makes sense to see that because we're trying to develop communication with the public, so. You can work with that committee, I think.
I think the letter needs to fall under our MAC for a specific reason, because everything MAC has to be reported back to the county, and then they're supposed to be posting like any minutes. Like, so what we're discussing right now under MAC, in theory, they're supposed to be posting that up as minutes and notes, and I think that that's important for our town to know that we're trying to take some action on this. And so...
Unless it gets posted on their consent calendar, and then...
But it's still like they have
still
a whole separate
record.
Like back that's on the record. And so I just think it's important that it goes like that under the MAC portion of it versus
for the letter.
Versus
I agree. I was referring to the town hall meeting.
Yeah.
Under communication.
And then I think with the town hall meeting, it's important that not only do we have, you know, the developer, the planner, but I really, really strongly think that we need our supervisor there, as well as you know, any other people that are with it, not just a representative from her office.
Yeah, they absolutely would all be invited, and let's hope we can impress upon them the importance of this, and they come. Lieutenant, would that be anything you all would be interested in attending, or no?
I'm happy to attend and field any questions that might apply to
Brokers
and such. But.
Okay, well, that's something we can think about going forward. So if anyone, do you have any major objections? Otherwise, we'll move forward on doing this.
No, I think staff can get work together with the communications committee on that. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. And then the letter, will they bring back
the letter we're going to have?
The map,
hopefully next
the next map. So we can like review it and understand what's going out.
Yeah, that should happen quicker than.
Agreed.
Any public comment?
So before I move on to the next time, so just to understand for these purposes of having a record here, the direction to the staff's been to work, pull out the file on this, what all the communications that the MAC has communicated on this project, work together as a staff to understand, you know, what the new elements, do some research on the on that other piece, you know, see what kind of information and bring it back. So the targeted date would be the next MAC meeting, but in the event that staff's unable to get there at least be a report. Does that sound feasible?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Works. All right. Any presentations?
None this evening. Thank you.
All right, discussion of possible action. And the first item is selecting two board members to sit on the ad hoc committee for the potential construction management firms to assist the town with the new district office building.
Yes, this item before you is a continuation from a previous board meeting. At the October 2nd, 2024 Board of Directors meeting, the board of three participants established the ad hoc construction management interview committee, but deferred selecting two board members to sit on the committee until all board members were present to vote on this action item. This ad hoc committee aims to interview potential construction managers for the district administration building project. Staff has received proposals from construction management firms and would like to begin the interview process within the next few weeks. Staff is requesting that the Board of Directors select two board members to sit on the Ad Hoc Construction Management Interview Committee and adopt and sign Resolution Number 2024-15.
I'd like to make a motion.
I think we have some public comment on this.
Okay.
Actually, do you have...
What are they going to call? Go ahead.
Ramon Amaral, you wanted to talk about this item?
Good evening, Board. My name is Ramon Amaral. I'm a representative for the NorCal Carpenters Union, Local 152, which covers Discovery Bay. I'm here tonight representing the 36,000 active members that we have in NorCal, California. 46 counties with 21 locals to cover those counties. I just wanted to state and respectfully ask the Board to at least consider the Carpenters Union in conversations about the development, future development across the street. And just given the opportunity to sit down and see how the Carpenters Union can assist with this project. That being said, that's all I have for tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Board, any questions? Who would, any discussion on who would like to be on the
I'd like to make a motion that based on the fact that Director Porter and I were on the original committee that has been looking at this thing for well over a year, that Director Porter and I be assigned to that ad hoc committee, understanding that this is probably going to be a one-time meeting. It's only to evaluate the selections that the general manager has already made, and then bring that recommendation to the board to accept or not accept.
I agree with you.
Well, you have second.
I second that motion. Yeah, second.
Brian, do you have any comments?
Well, motion's been made and seconded, so now we go to a vote, don't we?
Well, you can just there. So with the last motion on the floor, you can discuss the motion,
okay.
Or you can call for the vote. Either or.
Let's call for the vote.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gattell?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Aye.
possible.
Yeah. Okay, and with that, we will go to discussion item two regarding the adopting the violence prevention plan.
Yes. Starting July 1st, 2024, SB 553 Cortez of 2023 mandates most employers, with limited exceptions, to establish, implement, and maintain a workplace violence prevention plan. There are key requirements that must be included. Those key requirements are all listed in the staff report. Staff will need to conduct a hazard assessment of all the district's facilities, as well as develop a workplace violence prevention plan. The staff has worked closely with CSDA and other resources to include the OSHA standard requirements in the draft policy before you this evening. Accompanying the policy are the draft forms, logs, and sign-in sheet. Staff recommends that the board approve the Town of Discovery Bay Board Policy Violence Prevention Plan number 35 and sign resolution number 2024-17. This item was also brought to the Internal Operations Committee meeting for their review.
So, help me out here. Is this the first time that this has been to this meeting?
Yes, it is.
Okay, so that's where I heard it before. Okay. I'm sorry. These get muddy sometimes.
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh. No, I think it's absolutely needed this day and age. I think it's wonderful. Any comments? Any discussion?
I'd only make the comment, and I'm sure Director Callahan will agree with me, that the internal ops did review both this policy and the next one coming up before us, just to cover that now. And we thought it was very well done, and we would recommend that the board take action to accept.
Excellent.
And wasn't this also in accordance to some guidance from CSA?
Yeah. So in accordance, in a guidance with CSA, is that CSDA, is that correct?
Yeah, CSDA, OSHA, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I can say like corporate world requiring us.
Sure, that point was made.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, shall we?
So somebody want to? Public comment.
Public comment? Any public comment on us establishing this violence policy? No one? With that,
I'll make a motion.
Anybody
want to
make a motion?
To accept staff's recommendation?
I'll second.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gatto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Well, hopefully we'll need to implement it.
Yes. Yeah, let's hope. Okay, with that, the motion passes, and with that, we'll go on to discussion item three, which was adding a policy for site visitation.
Yes, the draft site visitation policy works closely with the draft violence prevention policy. This policy ensures the safety, security, efficiency, and operational workflow at the Town of Discovery Bay facilities, buildings, and work sites by establishing procedures for visitors, including elected officials, vendors, contractors, media, unassigned employees, tours, and guests. The staff report outlines the key reasons for implementing this policy. The draft site visitation policy is crucial for ensuring site safety, security, and violence prevention. By establishing a clear procedures for visitors and emphasizing the importance of communication and preparation, the policy contributes to the district's facilities overall well-being and efficiency. This item was also brought to the Internal Operations Committee for their review. Staff recommends that the board approve the Town of Discovery Bay policy site visitation number 36 and sign resolution number 2024-16.
And this will be reviewed with all employees when they start.
That is correct. There is a training that we've set up that we're going to be implementing, and we have to set it up for constantly. I mean, it's a lot of training for different site trainings. So yes, that is correct.
Excellent. Any questions? Any comments?
And as mentioned previously, the internal ops did review this and is recommending that the board take action.
Okay. Do we have any public comment? Anything on the phone? No? Okay, and with that, we'll bring it back. If there's no other discussion.
I'll make a motion to accept staff's recommendations.
I'll second.
Director Director Porter.
Aye.
Director Gatto.
Aye.
Director Graves.
Aye.
Vice President Graham.
Aye.
President Callahan.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. And now on to item four.
I will bring up water and wastewater.
Okay, for the purchase of a new truck.
Evening, board. Staff has a report here requesting authorization to purchase a new F-250 from Phil Frank Ford. This F-250 would be replacing a vehicle in our fleet. We have some older vehicles with high mileage. We're up to about 90,000 miles. Going through alternators, a few AC units, coil packs, such like that. So this would be a staff recommendation. This would have a utility bed put on the back that helps secure our industry tools. That's staff's recommendation. I think the total is
$64,667.44. Knowing that you're in this industry.
Yeah, I mean, I think that being able to find a truck right now is super important and hard to do. I don't think that that's a bad price, and I think it's something that they're going to need. So it came to water, wastewater, and we approved it.
Okay, excellent. Any questions from the board?
Just, you said this is going to replace an existing vehicle. What happens to that vehicle? Do we just sell it on the open market, or?
Yes, it came to an open market. It has to go to a bid site.
Surplus.
It's a good government option.
Or donated to an educational purpose, some to that extent.
But that's the plan, to dispose of it one way or the other?
Yes.
That doesn't seem like a high price for a brand new F-250.
Yeah, the box, I think, is what pushes it up there. It is, you're looking at a vehicle, it is the only gasser F-250 extended cab within 200 miles. Everything else is diesel. Diesel doesn't work for us with the new emissions DEF. We're literally 25 miles an hour, maybe 40. Where the newer diesels with the regenerative DEF.
Yeah, you have to like drive it 30
you
minutes.
You have to drive it for 40 minutes for it to clean itself out. So that's sending somebody out on the highway, wasting time doing that instead of doing it right here.
And they don't have, like, on the diesel F-250s, they don't give you the ability to run that regen automatically, correct? Like,
you
just
have,
sitting.
You have
to go
to
take
dealership.
It to the dealership. They
you
have to plug into it.
That's going to take longer than the 40 minutes.
Yeah.
How many vehicles do we have in our fleet, approximately?
I would say 10, maybe 11, including the Escape.
And is that for one per employee, or?
Yes.
Yeah. And a Prius won't work?
What's that? I don't know if the equipment's going to fit in a Prius.
No, I mean, I, again, like, being in this market and understanding what that looks like, it's going to be really hard to find trucks here.
Yeah.
Give it another year, and even gas trucks are going to be hard to find.
Yes.
Diesel are going to be non-existent.
All right, thank you. Any public comment? Anyone on the phone? No? Okay, with that, we'll bring it back. They want to make a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve staff's recommendations.
I'll second.
Director Porter?
Aye.
Director Gatto?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Graham?
Aye.
President Callahan?
Aye.
Excellent. With that, that motion passes. Now we will go on to our landscape report.
Good evening. I want to just share, we don't have Beatrice, right? Do we have the, or is it in the packet? That's okay if not. I just didn't want to keep going along.
The images are just too small.
That's okay. In your packet, you'll see some photos that I've put together just to kind of share with you some of the things that have been going on in landscape aside from, of course, our regular mow schedule and spraying and weeding, that kind of thing. We've been continuing with the tree work, so you'll see that on Laguna Court. Those pictures on the left, they're hanging down to the ground, and then you can see off to the right the pictures, the cleanup, and what a difference. Just paying attention to our trees, how it makes an improvement. The next slide is Discovery Bay Boulevard, a section of it. One of the things that we've been doing is that in driving around, I noticed that there's a lot of oleanders in town, that some are 8-10 feet tall, that we just don't have the equipment, the manpower to maintain. So we've been going through and bringing those way down to a more manageable level, and then allowing for new growth. So that's why I got a little picture, just to kind of show the difference, where you can see when you bring it all the way down, it does come back beautiful and green. So we'll let those now continue to grow, but not let them get to 8 feet tall, that we can no longer maintain it. So we've been chipping away at that all through town. There's an awful lot of oleanders. In the next picture on Preston, you can see the same thing, how big they are, and our staff out there working to...
Yeah, it looks good.
...to bring those down. We had the walking path between Newport and to Sandy Cove Shopping Center was crack sealed and put a seal coat on there. So that is hopefully going to get some more life out of that before having to do a complete redo of that. So that
is that the county took care of that for us?
The county, well...
Or do we do it?
I mean, the county...
I got
they paid for it, but I contracted that out with a... company.
Yeah, it looks great. I want a huge difference.
We project manage that in-house. Yeah.
Not to put you on the spot, but any updates on the bollards? For the that's a glare and a snarl.
I do have one
later date.
Yeah, that's a long one.
Parks and Rec meeting.
There you go. We'll do that. If you drive down this far, because I think a lot of people don't realize that we maintain for the county all the way down Bixler till you get to Old River School. And a lot of people perhaps don't travel that way, but for our landscape of three people, we cover a lot of area. And those trees down there, I'm 5'4", and they were just about touching my head, and you couldn't even walk under them. So I lifted those way up, and again, brought that oleander down. They were so overgrown and tangled in with the trees. You can see the pictures on the right there, where it looks, the pictures just don't do it justice. When you drive down there, it looks a lot better.
When there's excessive maintenance, and I consider excessive maintenance, do we collect more money from the county in those cases, or?
I told the county this desperately needs to be done, the reason why, and the operating budget should not be what takes care of the cost of that. And so I get a proposal, send it to them, and then they approve it and give me a special billing code to use, so it's not coming out of our regular operating budget.
Nice.
Right.
It's a lot of geography that you have to maintain for them.
A lot. Yeah, it is. Preston and Pointed Timber. I shared those pictures last month or the month before, I believe this, where we did the front on both sides. But after looking at that, the rest of it just needed to be done. So I went back, we did that part in-house. We went in, I again went back to the county and said, I need this much more money. Here's some pictures and here's what I'd like to do. And they approved it. So we in-house, we pulled out all the old, and you can see on the left there, put in the grasses that were there. It was watering dirt. We killed all that, which will save water. They already had olive trees there. There was a big blank space, so I put in two more trees, and then we filled it in with the bark and the river rock. And if you haven't driven by, I think it looks real nice. Take a drive over there. Just wanted to kind of share some of the growth. I know Clipper's been a big discussion. We are working right now. You may see the crews out there. We're ripping out those composite edging and putting in the, and it, that'll be coming before another one. It's already making a big difference.
That's great.
But just kind of wanted to share some pictures of how our Clipper Drive can look when it's really, when we keep on top of it.
I love those plants. I know that they only bloom like that pink color once a year, but it's
pretty right now.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I love it. What are they?
You know, I don't know the name of those. I didn't put those in, but what I've learned is the trick to that is we did recently, a few months back, lop them all the way down.
Yeah, I saw that. And then they grew back beautiful.
And then they come back beautiful.
Just beautiful.
No, that the attention all these areas are getting and the little things like cutting off the tree, cutting down the oleanders is making a huge difference. And
thanks
to you and,
hard,
and all your, everybody that's working with you on this. Yeah.
Thank you. And then Wild Drive, we've been very busy. I've been on top of all the mowing of the parks is a full-time thing. But you can see here, I tried to get some pictures of Wild Drive before and after, and it was really just, it was dirt, weeds, and some unkept shrubs. The oak trees need some help. We did have to remove some. I've been working with an arborist, and I was ready to rip those things out, and he said, no, give them till spring. They'll come back. We had a really hot, we were 100 degrees in October, so a lot of stuff has kind of gone into shock, but I'm told they will bounce back. So we have a drip system there now, so again, some water savings, and then the plants and the rocks that we put in there. It's night and day when you drive down there, it looks a lot better.
It's wonderful.
And just wanted to share with you the Halloween spirit we did. We have you drive down there at night, but we're working on the seasons, kind of being a little festive as people enter our town, and we have the purple and orange lights out there for Halloween. And they're back to white now, so. We'll do something else.
I wanted to say thank you for taking the initiative to go to the county and not pull some of these funds out of the operating funds to do the stuff that needs to be done in the areas that they're responsible for, and really just like taking the initiative and taking care of it and making sure that they're giving us that money, because I think that's a lot of things that people don't realize, is that we have this small operating budget from the county to do a bunch of stuff, but then when we have stuff like you just did down to Bixler, that costs time and money and effort, and they need to pay for that. It shouldn't come out of our normal maintaining operational budget.
Thank
you for taking that initiative and getting that money and just doing it, and not always having to come to the board and ask for it.
Thank you.
When you get a chance, drive down by Lift Station F at the corner of Willow Lake Road and River Lake and Willow Lake Road. The house on the corner is being rehabbed and up for sale, and they took out all their awful plants that were alongside that lift station, along that fence by the school, which were horrible. And it leaves the horrible plants that we have in our lift station area very exposed and very obvious. So take a look. They look like they're dead to me, but I'm not a gardener, but take a look at that, and they may just need to be removed, and I'm not even sure they need to be replaced. It might just be an area for some rock or something like that, some drought resistant something.
I will work out. I actually have been communicating with the residents there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. On the corner right there?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thank you though.
Sounds like a wastewater
a
budget
couple of
item.
Right there behind
that.
That
would be.
That would be horrible.
They do, yes. Yeah, she and I have been chatting.
I happen to be where I drive every day.
I'm coming soon. Hopefully I'll have next month more updates, but we're redoing the little island in Zone 35 between the Safeway Shopping Center there on Bixler. Gonna be redoing that. The county already approved it. Again, not using our operating funds, but I said we need some more money. As well as the corner where the new monument sign is, Pacific Waterways, Bixler and Regatta, that's gonna get all new plant life.
Great.
So,
awesome.
You're talking about the Meridian or Medium entering and exiting the Safeway Shopping Center?
Yeah, did I say something?
No, well, you said the island.
Oh, sorry, yes, the Medium. Thank you, yes.
I'm envisioning something a bit larger than.
Yeah, I did. I used the wrong. Yeah, thank you for clarifying. Yes, that area. That's good.
Any other questions, Board? Any public comment? Thank you, Monica.
You're welcome.
General Manager's report.
I do. I have four updates for you this evening. First off, staff would like to congratulate Vice President Graham on her reelection.
Yay,
and congratulate our new board member, Leslie Belcher. Staff looks forward to working with both of you. Second is I want to inform the board that the California Energy Commission loan to fund energy efficiency measures and solar carport system has received enough repayments from previous loans and projects to move our loan application off the waiting list. So the commission will begin to review our energy package for approval, and I will update the board as that progresses. So this is when we work with Veolia to do our solar carports and things over there.
That's
this
exciting.
Is part of what Veolia was putting in,
yes.
The course? Okay.
Yes, yes, correct. So, okay, and thirdly, the community center safety wall project. I'll just give a quick status report. We received our permit from the county's planning department. The permit advisory note stated that we should contact the building and fire departments for their approval. So on this project, so we are now doing that, and I will update you as that progresses.
How long have we been working on this project?
Yes.
This is an emergency project, and it's been going on since spring. It's been very frustrating to get this just moved along.
And are the homeowners, are they frustrated too, or it's not really bothering them at this point?
No.
Not yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I keep stressing to them, I want to get to it before inclement weather. Right?
Yeah.
Rain and all that.
Yeah.
To
clarify, this is the retaining wall behind the tennis court.
That is correct, okay. Yes. So, and then my last update is I completed the SDLF district governance training on Monday and Tuesday in San Rafael. The town now retains its district of distinction, transparency, and platinum level of governance.
Thanks for all your efforts.
And just for clarification, so people understand how hard that is, how many other CSD districts have that? All of those.
All of these?
Uh-huh.
Not very many.
It's like 100 something out of 1,300.
Yeah.
It might not be 100. No, it's like less than
that. There's over 3,000 special districts.
And it's like under 100 that have attained that level of transparency.
So, and it's starting to get some traction, but we are definitely in the lead in California.
Good.
So it's something to be
very wonderful.
Proud of.
Thanks for your efforts. Yeah. Director reports.
The Park and Recs Committee met today. We had a very robust conversation about many different items. Me, myself, and I and staff. Director Porter, actually, Monica's been great by not asking for money, but she will be coming asking for money here at a later point. We talked about several of the islands that are located throughout Discovery Bay haven't been touched in 20, 30 years, however long, it's been a long time. So Park and Recs Committee is just working with staff to figure out which islands we should address first. And Monica already has some great ideas that she's had drawn up. And so she'll be bringing that to a later point, or bring it back to request money at a later point once we determine which islands we want to move forward with. And we also talked about potentially updating our landscaping sprinkler system to a more technologically advanced one. If in the event that, and this happens quite often, a sprinkler gets turned on, it doesn't shut itself off, we end up wasting a lot of water, especially if it happens over the weekend. So if we have a way of managing and monitoring all of our sprinkler systems, we could be a lot more efficient and proactive, much like our SCADA system is for the wastewater or water system. So she'll be bringing a proposal to us, and at this point I think it's a good idea given the direction of water conservation in the state of California and allowing staff to be more efficient to quickly address if there's a water either leak or when the sprinkler heads do not shut off. So it can be done all remotely.
That's great.
That's great.
Sounds like you had a lot of conversations. Good meeting.
I did, Monica, and myself talked quite a bit.
There you go. Ashley?
Yeah, so water, wastewater, you heard some of it. We discussed the new truck. And then we also got an update on the filter project, which is, yay, almost done. Aaron showed us some great pictures of the new filter and the asphalt going within 6 inches of the fence. And so I'm sure coming soon we'll be getting finalization of payment and stuff on that project.
Wonderful.
Did I miss anything?
Nope.
Excellent. Any other reports, correspondence, legal, future agenda items? Everyone's shaking their head. And with that, we will adjourn the meeting.